ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Have we got a special guest lined up for you? Oh my goodness, have we got a great guest. This is, I'm really excited. Thank you, John Robertson, for arranging this, but Brittany Pettibone, have you heard of her? If you've been investigating any, or if you've been following the Podesta emails, the what is known as Pizzagate. I'm not sure what camera am I supposed to look in. The center one,
right under the
that one. Okay. Hi. All right. Sorry about that, but yeah, Brittany Pettibone. She is a science fiction fantasy writer. Actually, published Hatred Day. Is one of her books that
the Hatred Day series,
Barnes and Noble and Amazon.com. But Brittany Pettibone has been, and with her twin sister, they've been really doing a lot of great research into what is now known as Pizzagate, and she's going to be sharing her findings with all of us here tonight. And you know, of all of the people I've looked at, the citizen journalists, the writers, the authors, the people who have contributed to the investigative work product. Brittany and her twin sister, just right to the point and right on the money. Before we get to Brittany, by the way, you can see her. We're doing this for the first time, wired up here. If you're watching this via YouTube Live, you can see her on our YouTube Live. So if you're listening to this via Global Star, come on over, to YouTube Live. Yeah, watch it on the archive to see, Brittany and, but at any rate, before we get to Brittany, I want to just mention that Christmas is coming up, the holidays are coming up, and you don't even have to leave your house for the perfect gift. Do what I did this year for the perfect gift. Give the gift from OmahaSteaks.com. You heard Gary Haven, the head of Kurz International, a customer of Omaha Steaks, OmahaSteaks.com. And you'll find anything and everything there. They've got over 500 gourmet gift ideas. They've got the highest quality cuts and ingredients of meat, beef, one-of-a-kind flavor, and the flavor is just absolutely incredible. Right now, for our listeners, okay, especially for you, if you go to OmahaSteaks.com, enter the coupon code or promo code HH in the search bar, you know it'll come up, My Family Gift Pack. Here's the deal. It's 77% off of the retail price just for you for listening. The Family Gift Pack. Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings. Again, 77% off. Here's what you get. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, which are just absolutely, all of this is absolutely great. 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steaks seasoning pack, which is just, I don't know what they put in that, but man, plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages free, all for under $50 for you, the listener, if you go to omahasteaks.com, HH in the coupon, or in the search bar. It's a wonderful gift idea, and you know, we just cooked up a couple of steaks this weekend, my wife and I, and the seasoning packet, oh, it was just delicious. And my neighbor also ordered from Omaha Steaks, and they did. They had the chicken, I guess it was. Yeah, chicken on Sunday night, and just loved it. So OmahaSteaks.com, HH in the search bar. Brittany Pettibone is our guest. Joe, I was talking to you about her. You and I have done. You and I spoke about her research product, and I think it's second to none. So we're awful lucky to have her tonight. And you can follow her on Twitter. Her Twitter is at Britt Pettibone. That's BrittPettibone.
Yeah, and Brittany, it's great to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report, especially your first time ever video guest.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I have to ask, I've been an investigator for 30 years, and I've done a lot of research, a lot of just a lot of things, and I was watching you publish your investigative findings. How did you get into this? Because you were spot on everything. How did you get into investigating this issue?
Well, it began actually with my twin sister and I decided to come publicly out for Donald Trump because we were closeted for a long time because we were in a very liberal industry, the writing industry. And towards the end, it was about a month before Election Day, we decided to come out for Trump and get involved. So we started with WikiLeaks, and we were looking through the WikiLeaks, and we stumbled upon spirit cooking. I was actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I was one of the first people to post it on Twitter. So someone had compiled it on Reddit with the WikiLeaks emails about spirit cooking and Marina Abramović's video, her spirit cooking video. And so I packaged it and put it on Twitter, and within a few hours, spirit cooking was trending. And it was the top hashtag for over a day, which was absolutely incredible. It did significant damage to Hillary's campaign. And from there, I was invited, my twin sister and I were invited onto InfoWars on election night. And after that, we were contacted by some anonymous researchers from 8chan who were investigating all of this but did not have the platform to publish it, and they wanted to know if we were interested, and I said yes. So I was working with them, and I'm also working with a wonderful boy who goes by the name, the moniker Baldwin the Fourth. We've been working together since the very beginning, and so I've just kind of slowly built a little team that I found to be reliable, professional, and trustworthy people. And so we've all been working together. So it really is a group effort, and I can in no way claim any kind of credibility on my own, because I would be nowhere without all the support I've been getting. So I've kind of, I suppose, more been the face of it, but in no way have been doing the majority of the work.
So. Isn't it amazing how the citizen journalists, how the posters, publishers, or the people behind, I mean, just people looking into this, devouring this topic, and the information in which they have uncovered. It's just amazing. Okay. So,
New information continues to come out every day. Mm-hmm. Even with the election over, we still see what's happening in the news with, this comet, was it Comet Ping Pong?
Yeah.
Pizza, and this pizzeria in Washington, D.C. seems to be at the center, at least now, of this fake news / Pizzagate story. And it's really interesting to see what the mainstream media is putting out there as far as false news in order to either get people off this or to be, to scare people. And then you got a bill that's passed the House that, labels 200 plus different media outlets, alternative media outlets, as fake news, Russian propagandists,
yes.
And that's in danger of going through the Senate and being signed by the president, putting free speech in jeopardy. So I think we're definitely onto something here with this Pizzagate investigation. And if you want, can you share a little bit of what you guys have uncovered that maybe has gone unnoticed?
I was Brittany, but what I was going to ask her was if you want to kind of catch everyone up. Give everyone an overview. We oftentimes, Joe, you and I assume like people know everything that we know, and oftentimes they don't. We've got a lot of new listeners and viewers. If you kind of want to give a little bit of a background, and then however you want to do it, but
sure. Yeah. Sure. Yes. Well, I will start by saying that this investigation, what we at first initially believed was quite small and quite direct is actually an enormous investigation that the information, there's so much coming out every day that I even cannot possibly keep up with it. There are so many people publishing information, digging things up. So this investigation, to really understand it, you have to make, an individual effort to go out there, look for the information, read it, and learn and understand it yourself, because it's nothing that can very easily be put in a nutshell. It's very large, and we're getting to the point where we believe it does in fact span the entire world. So we are at the moment focusing on the epicenter of Pizzagate is James Alefantis's restaurant called Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And the reason we are trying to be as direct as possible with this is because we do have, reason to believe he potentially may be a pedophile. And this man is also, he is connected to George Soros, who he has a funded his super PAC, George Soros' super PAC. It's called American Bridge 21st Century. Donated $1 million to James Alefantis in 2012 and over $1 million in 2014. And James Alfontes has also visited the White House numerous times. He has posted photos of Barack Obama on his Instagram account. He knows Hillary Clinton. I'm not sure if they have met in real life, but I do know that she has written him personally an email thanking him for participating in a fundraiser hosted by the Podesta brothers. So we're finding these connections between all of these people. He's actually also the former boyfriend of David Brock, who owns Correct the Record. So there's this network of elites that are very, you know, they're all connected to James Alfontes, and we are all asking the question why. Because, you know, James Alfontes has also been named by GQ, one of the 50 most powerful people in Washington. And yet, a friend of mine, Jack Posobiec, has actually gone to Comet Ping Pong. He did a Periscope there. And it's like a dive restaurant. It's very dark and grody and not nice in any way. And so you wonder, you know, the power this man seems to have.
Was he the one that was thrown out doing the Periscope?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I believe he went on InfoWars and did an interview about that. But yes, he was thrown out, I believe, just for periscoping. I guess they didn't like that for some reason. But yes, he was thrown out with a friend. And I believe he also went to Best at Pizza, which is another one. See, what it is you have Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and then there are several other restaurants on this strip nearby Comet Ping Pong that are also very suspicious. They have, you know, pedophile logos. And these are verified as, you know, being pedophile by the FBI. So we have, you know, FBI photographs of what pedophile symbols are. And so we match that to like Besta Pizza, which had a pedophile logo. And actually it's important to note that they recently changed their logo. So I don't know if it was because they were getting threats from people, or I'm not sure, but they did change their logo. And so there are several, you know, restaurants around this Comet Ping Pong that are all very suspicious and are all at the same time being investigated. So there's a lot of information coming out. It would be nice to, our goal is to put it all together and push for a formal investigation to be opened under Donald Trump. Because to be perfectly honest, we don't really believe that there will be a great chance of it being, you know, fairly going to a fair trial under President Obama. So
wasn't there
DOJ might be compromised.
I do suspect that to be the case, especially given the fact that to me, when I was talking with Alex today, Alex Jones on InfoWars, it might have been off air. I really believe the epicenter to all of this, or at least one important aspect of this, is the Clinton Foundation. Now, just so people know, with respect to, well, that's, anyway, a lot, everything kind of crosses through the Clinton Foundation. Are you finding that, or is that just kind of, or?
We are, in a sense. So, yes, this is a whole nother branch to the investigation, is the Haiti section. So we have, you know, Comet Ping Pong, and then it branches off into Haiti. And the reason this began is because there was a woman, her name is Laura Silsby, and she is a child smuggler, an associate of the Clintons. She went to Haiti under the guise, with a group of Baptist missionaries to quote unquote rescue Haitian orphans. The problem was they weren't orphans. They were taken from their parents. Laura Silsby was charged with child abduction and criminal conspiracy. She served 6 months, in prison in Haiti, and I believe it was Bill Clinton, while he was a special envoy from the UN that was in charge of recovery and reconstruction efforts in Haiti, he got Laura Silsby's group off the hook, essentially, when they were arrested in Haiti. He was not able to get Laura Silsby out of Haiti right away, so she had to do her time 6 months. And, I mean, you know, it's our suspicion, we can't confirm, that Bill Clinton, though, was likely able to use some of his political connections to make her service a shorter sentence, because child trafficking is quite serious, and 6 months seems a very short time. But it's also interesting to note that Laura Silsby's lawyer was also wanted and later arrested for child trafficking in El Salvador. And something else that's interesting to note about Laura Silsby is she's actually changed her name, and It is now, she's changed her name to
Gaylor, I think.
Or is it Laura Gaylor? Yes. And yep. So now she works for a company. It's called AlertSense, which works with a number of U.S. states on their alert systems. And this includes Amber Alert. So you have to ask yourself the question, why would they allow a woman convicted of child trafficking anywhere near systems that, you know, deal with Amber Alert? It seems that these people, you know, it makes sense that if they're, you know, child trafficking or involved, you know, in some way in this, that they would work near children, children-related organizations. So that's what we have so far on Laura Silsby, and we're still, you know, digging up information. The one other thing about Haiti that is very important to note is there was a woman named Monica Peterson who died while investigating human trafficking in Haiti. And so a close friend of Monica Peterson, her name is Bella Robinson, she claims that Monica was in Haiti, investigating the Clintons' possible ties to a pedophile ring, and that her family hasn't been able to get any straight answers about her death. So this was a post that Bella Robinson wrote about Monica Peterson. So that's all we know so far on her, that she was, you know, according to her friend, investigating that. So this is why it's bringing us to Haiti. And so we're digging up information there. And then we're also trying to keep, we're trying to keep a focus on Comet Ping Pong, because this investigation is so large that it's really not good. We're not going to be able to interpret it very well to the average citizen unless we keep a strong and direct focus. And keep it in a way that we're able to explain what's going on quickly, and, you know, through images and short, you know, tweets and, just sound bites of information. Because it really is, you know, I've been working nonstop on this, and there's still so much that I don't know and don't understand yet, because there's so much information. So it's like, it's a full-time job right now.
Yeah.
So if you are interested, it's going to take quite an effort to grasp this. And
okay, and Brittany, it appeared to me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Just to kind of go back here, because I kind of knocked you off track with the question about the Clinton Foundation, but the really all of this came to light with the initial release of the Podesta emails on or about October 3rd of 2016. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. It was okay. About October 3rd, yes.
All right. And then there were about 40 email releases via WikiLeaks. And within the WikiLeaks emails, then this coding system that is suggestive of a pedophilia kind of network with respect mm-hmm. to symbols and language.
Yeah.
Is suggestive of something going on here. And really, some of the emails that were written to and from Podesta don't really make any sense with mm-hmm. respect to the language. I pulled a couple of emails, but I'm sure people are familiar, talking about playing dominoes playing dominoes on a pizza or something like that. It was just weird, you know.
Yes.
So it just, none of this makes sense without, if you look at it just plainly.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I didn't mean to get you off track with the Clinton Foundation,
no worries.
But okay. So, all right. Now what? I mean, we're here. You found you and others have found numerous indications of child trafficking or suggestions of the same language within the emails.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Suggestions of it. Yes. I mean, so it did start with the emails, and as you read them, it's obvious that they are code for something. And many people were putting it together as code for, you know, pedophilia, because a lot of these words like pizza and, excuse me, I have something in my throat. A lot of these words, people already knew a lot about them. I believe, you know, Reality Calls, her real name is Tara, but she actually found on the deep web verification that many of these words believed what we thought they believed.
Yeah, you know, I just want to give your throat a rest there. How can I put this without getting too much of or being too much in trouble? Accessing the deep web or the dark web, deep web, whatever you want to call it, is not something I'd recommend because, you know, however, the information in within the dark web, the commerce of children, I guess, for lack of a better, I mean, it's just what it is pretty consistent with the language that appears in these emails, at least from an investigative viewpoint. So, yeah.
Yes. And I mean, so it started there and, you know, we had our suspicions and people were looking around, but then more things started to come out. We've just been finding a lot of things that keep once again, you know, confirming suspicions. So, you know, it's all alleged at this point. And, before I go on, I feel I should point out because the mainstream media is hammering the Pizzagate investigators at the moment for, you know, quote unquote, you know, inciting harassment against James Alifantis. The main researchers of this investigation, none of them are directly accusing James Alifantis or John Podesta. You know, they are innocent until proven guilty, and we cannot declare them one or the other. All we can do is collect the evidence, screenshot it, archive it, and demand a full investigation. That is our role, and that's what we are looking at our role as. So we're not directly accusing anyone. We're trying to, since the you know, law enforcement is not getting involved at this point, our goal is to create public awareness enough in order to push for a formal investigation, and hopefully we'll get that. But onto James Alifantis and John Podesta, there were a lot of things to indicate, perhaps potentially pedophilia and things. So I'll just go through a couple. So there was first a Washington Post article, which was actually deleted and had to be archived, and this is how we dug it up. It was a Washington Post article that says that in Tony and Heather Podesta's home, they have pictures of naked underage children by a Serbian artist who they, you know, very much like. You know, so there was that. There are numerous photos on James Alifantis' Instagram, which used to be public. It has been set to private since. But there are numerous photos that indicate some kind of, you know, potential child abuse or pedophilia. If you look at the photos, you know, in one, for example, he has, you know, a fake baby doll. It's a German baby, and there's a price tag on it, you know, for, I don't know, $1,000 or something like that. And he's like, oh, it's too expensive, you know, as if he's going to purchase a child. Or, you know, he has so many photos of babies eating pizza. And if you read the comments on the photos are the most telling. They, you know, will make really disturbing remarks about the photos that all allude to this perhaps being, you know, some kind of pedophile ring. Also, a recent discovery we made, which is very interesting, is James Alifantis' Instagram profile picture is a statue of Emperor Hadrian's 13-year-old lover, Antonius. So, in a sense, that alludes to pedophilia.
How in the world did you, huh?
These guys are great. These researchers are great. So I will not take credit for uncovering this. So what happened was, where you can find most of this research is right now vote.co. So the research, the entire investigation essentially began on the Donald Reddit, but it was banned from Reddit recently, you know, because apparently it was, you know, they were labeling it a witch hunt. So they banned it from Reddit, the CEO did, and Donald Reddit is actually now quarantined from the rest of Reddit. It's not fully banned, but it's quarantined. So that's interesting. But so everything was moved over to vote.co, and then you can go and check for updates there daily. But yes, this is something that just came out, and I found it very interesting. They matched the statue to Antonius, who was 13 years old when he became Emperor Hadrian's lover.
Yeah, that would have been my first guess. I looked at that. Yeah, that's what that is.
And we've seen the photos from the Clinton campaign, John Podesta, the photos alluding to cannibalism, where there's offices, there's a photo of two men standing over what looks like a mummy with forks and plates in their hand, and it looks like they're jabbing the fork into the person. And I think one thing that we need to make a distinction is, because we see the media trying to take this story over with the recent events that took place, which people are still dissecting. But this story is not about Comet Pizza or Comet Ping Pong Pizza. It's around the Podesta emails and his involvement in a potential pedophilia ring. And then, you know, where does Comet Pizza fit into that?
If it does, and again, this is all alleged, you know, in our view.
Connections.
Yeah.
And you know, as you mentioned, the owner of Comet Ping Pong is, you know, the top 50 most powerful people in Washington D.C., which raises a lot of red flags.
Well, David Brock connection though.
Yeah, and there are, you know, a lot of the Podesta and friends are friends with people who've been convicted of pedophilia and other. You know, as you mentioned earlier in Haiti, the child trafficking and the Lolita Express from Jeffrey Epstein.
Brittany, we're about a minute out from the bottom of the hour break. In this minute, though, you just blew my mind with that reference to that whatever it was. These people are amazing. In the minute we have, I just want to make sure that people know where to follow you. I think this is so important because when I found you, I thought I found a treasure. So give out your Twitter feed.
My Twitter handle is at Britt Pettibone, BRITTPETTIBONE.
Okay. And of course you are a science fiction writer. Your book, Hatred Day, right?
That's, yes, correct. Okay.
And that's available at Amazon and, Barnes & Noble. Folks, a very special guest, a science fiction writer and a tremendous researcher. In fact, we should get her a badge, name or an ID. Brittany Pettibone from all the way from the West Coast. We're going to be right back with Brittany Pettibone. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Stay right where you're at. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, bringing you the best guests in the world. You heard earlier Gary Haven from Curves International, his one-man UN, one-man UN rescue operation for Haiti, doing commissioning his own aircraft down in Haiti, doing a lot of rescue operations. What a great guy, and wow. It's just an amazing thing. And, of course, right now, Brittany Pettibone, one of the finest, most articulate researchers with respect to what is known as Pizzagate, is with us right now. And we're, folks, if you're listening or watching us live on YouTube, welcome, because this is the first time we actually have our guest on video. And it's so nice to see her. And I want to thank everyone for the nice comments as well. Before we get back to Brittany, I just want to ask each and every one of you, have you gotten your Christmas gifts yet? Well, if not, in addition to the fine writer we have in Brittany Pettibone, the fine science fiction fantasy writer, we also have T.C. Joseph. T.C. Joseph is the author of This Generation series of novels. He wrote a thrilling series, three novels. In fact, it's called This Generation Series. It's on Amazon. Book one is Precipice. Book two is Pentecost. Book three is Penance. We have all three. The third one just came out. His novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. Ladies and gentlemen, he's got a witty style about him. The character development is fantastic. It's a great read. Not only will you love these books, but they can be used as a tool to awaken your friends, family members, to the perilous times we face. Great reviews from Kirkus as well as Blue Ink, stating that these novels are thought-provoking and absolutely riveting. That's T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels on Amazon. Grab them. You will thank us later. Let's get back to Brittany. Joe, let's bring her on.
Yeah, and Brittany is one half of the authors of the Hatred Day series. Hatred Day Book 1 is available now on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles, and the expected publication for Verdict Day Book 2 is 2017. Now, Brittany co-authors the book with her sister, Nicole, and they write under the pen name T.S. Pettibone.
That's right. And we're lucky to have them.
Yeah.
Brittany, let's start off. Let me ask what spirit cooking is, because a lot of people maybe have misconceptions that this is merely just a, oh, I don't know, it could be on the Food Channel or something in some sort of Louisiana dish. But
yeah, so the best research we've been able to come up with so far is, okay, spirit cooking, it's basically an event or a ritual, and it was actually started by Marina Abramovic, who is an artist, and she's become known, you know, for her gory performances and occultist rituals, I suppose. So the ritual itself has deep influences, though, from old occultist rituals performed prior to consumption of Eucharistic meals during worship. So the origins of spirit cooking, they can be found in preludes to the production of called the Cake of Light, and that is a sacrament in the religion of Thelema, which was founded by Aleister Crowley. So basically, spirit cooking is a modern version of the Cake of Light, which was started by Aleister Crowley. So it's not the same name, but the ritual is close to being the same. So the ingredients usually include things like menstrual blood and sperm, and, you know, a whole host of, you know, very disturbing things that you would never, you know, think about eating, but these people do. And she also uses pig's blood in the ritual as a medium to connect the spirit world with the material world. And so the ritual usually takes place in the kitchen. Apparently, that's what it's supposed to be, because that's the heart of the home. So there's a lot of, you know, weird things that go on with spirit cooking. But apparently, Marina herself has stated that if you perform this ritual like in an art gallery, then it's art. But if you perform it in a private setting, then it's something much more intimate and spiritual, so more like a ritual. But interesting, you know, she claims that, but I've spoken extensively with, I'm a Catholic, so I do believe, you know, in, you know, Satan and like Satanism and, you know, all these things. So I've spoken in depth with, a former Satanist who is now a Catholic. He converted, but he was a Satanist for maybe 2 decades or more, a very long time. And so he knows all about spirit cooking, and he explained to me that anywhere that you perform these rituals, whether it be an art gallery or at home, it is still a ritual. And so while performing it in an art gallery, you know, the observers are probably inadvertently participating in this ritual. You know, they think it's art or performance art, but they are participating. And he said, just like when you offer mass, if you go to a church, it's mass. But if someone, you know, if a priest has to offer mass, you know, what, out in a field somewhere with an altar, it's still mass. You know, if you can't find a church, it's the same thing. So that's what he explained to me. And he said, don't let, you know, anyone tell you different. It's a tactic to, you know, try and confuse you about. Yeah. But it is the same. So there's a lot of, you know, spirit cooking was one of the most, you know, it was something that launched this entire investigation. But just visually, you know, watching the video, it's very disturbing, and a lot of people became interested in digging into this just from spirit cooking. And we know that John, you know, the Podestas were involved with spirit cooking from the WikiLeaks emails. There is an email of Marina talking about having a spirit cooking dinner with them. So,
yeah, and one thing that's interesting about spirit cooking, and we did when the day that this came out, we did a show. We actually cleaned our schedule and invited other guests to come on who deal with satanic ritual abuse. Mm-hmm. And, a doctor came on and talked about this. But one thing that's interesting is the lady who made that, the video, and there are hundreds of other recipes out there, and they don't mm-hmm. involve, you know, body fluids and blood, but they are satanic in nature. And yes. What did, in your mind, and what from what you've researched and what you've seen, what do these people hope to accomplish? Are these people trying to gain power and influence and continue to be covered in their sins from exposure with these rituals, or is there something even deeper behind this?
I believe that a lot of this, you know, occultist things, you know, they try and use different words to confuse you, you know. The thing is, though, it is it is Satanism, you know, the way these rituals that are being performed. Like, for example, Aleister Crowley, a lot of people would say that he wasn't a Satanist, that he, you know, he created Thelema and it was peaceful. But the entire premise of his religion is do what thou wilt. That's Satanism.
Yeah.
Right,
and he,
there.
In his, in one of his books, he wrote about how, about sacrificing, a male, young child between the ages. You know, he goes into this long detailed description, and talks about actually, you know, killing and sacrificing, a human being. And Aleister Crowley, and, you know, we go back to the satanic ties from Hillary Clinton to Obama, from Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, dedicated to, Lucifer, they said, the first, rebel.
Yes.
You know, all these people seem to promote their dark, mm-hmm. Satanic ties. And then they lie when it comes out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, our country now is—it's more anti. You know, it seems like it's more godless than it ever has been. So something like this investigation, especially when you are looking at it through the spiritual lens, is very hard for people to grasp. Because, you know, many people maybe don't believe in God or don't believe in Satan, but they do believe in God. You know, either or. But the important thing to note is that these people do believe in Satan. So whether you do or not, they do, and they are. You know, from what we can see so far, they have some kind of, you know, worshiping of Satan going on. So, we're exploring that. You know, as far as we know, the spirit cooking, you know, isn't illegal. It's highly disturbing, but as far as we know so far, what they've been doing isn't illegal there. So, you know, they can do what they wish, but, it's what started this whole investigation. And, now we're on to more things that maybe, you know, could warrant a very serious investigation. But personally, like as I said, I am Catholic, so I do look at this through a spiritual lens. And being a Satanist, you know, it's said, the ex-Satanist I spoke to, he said that the reason people do these things, you know, like if they sacrifice an animal or, you know, a child or whatever it may be, the reason they do it is to gain, you know, influence and power. That's why they do it. They have to do these things. They have to, the Satanists, and then they'll be given, you know, the things that they want. So, yeah, that's what he said. And he said it's very rampant and widespread. He was involved in it all, participated. So, yeah, it was a very interesting conversation. So,
And I think we're just scratching the surface. And really, like you said, understanding that what this is, due to the confusion and coded language, and then we see the, you know, this getting pushback now in the mainstream media, because of the alleged actions of one person, allegedly carrying a gun into this, comet ping pong.
Yeah. If you want to speak to that, because that's, oh man.
Because we see the agenda, and Gary Haven was on the first hour, talked about how this, that story, and then the media's attention, you know, now you have what's on the front of Drudge, web giants to cooperate on removal of extremist content from social media sites. And this all ties into, you know, the censorship of independent journalist investigations.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. You know, before yesterday, though, when the gunman went to Comet Ping Pong, there were a few mainstream media articles emerging that were, you know, quote-unquote debunking Pizzagate, but they weren't really, because they offered no evidence to refute anything that had been presented. It's almost as if none of the writers even looked at the investigation at all. They just kind of said, it's fake, and then, you know, published. They also never, it's very interesting to note, none of the mainstream media articles have included any of the photos from James Alefantis' Instagram, you know, because maybe, you know, why? You have to ask that question. Is it because they're too disturbing? So it's, there are very, you know, a lot of interesting things that we've been finding, you know, with the MSM. So the BBC put out a request to interview some of the researchers, that were, researching Pizzagate, and all of them immediately said no, because at this point, none of us trust the mainstream media. So it was interesting because like a day later, the BBC did publish an article on Pizzagate, completely bashing Pizzagate. And something interesting about that is we uncovered another article about a murdered television presenter, Jill Dando was her name, who apparently tried to alert her bosses to a pedophile ring at the BBC involving big-name stars, And this, a former colleague of Jill's, said this. So, but Jill was actually, she was murdered. She was shot dead on the doorstep of her home in West London. And the crime today, you know, to this day remains unsolved. But it was just interesting, you know, she was investigating this, something that potentially, you know, implicated the BBC. And then the BBC is bashing, you know, our investigation. It's just very interesting to note. Or Fox News, I believe it was last Sunday or the Sunday before. No, it was the Sunday before. They came out, they reported on it for like a minute. And they said, you know, this is a crazy conspiracy. They're saying that there's a basement in Comet Ping Pong. There's no basement. But then we actually found an article from 2015, a Metro Weekly article, where James Alafontis himself says that he has a basement in Comet Ping Pong. He says that they harvest a whole crop of organic tomatoes, 10 tons of tomatoes every year, and store them in the basement. So we found that and put that out. And maybe, you know, to be honest, a lot of us were expecting something to happen, something big, you know, like a shooter at Comet Ping Pong, or, you know, something to happen to big enough to potentially derail the entire investigation. So we don't have any proof so far that this man, Edgar Madison Welch is his name, you know, we don't have, you know, perfect proof yet that he wasn't genuine in his intentions. So I'm not going to accuse anyone, but just a couple things about him. So he's from Salisbury, North Carolina, and he told the police in a post-arrest interview that he came to investigate Pizzagate. But some things about him: he's an out-of-work actor. He graduated from Cape Fear Community College in 2007. So he has an actual IMDb page which lists his filmography. He's played in mostly like horror kind of film movies. One's called The Bleeding from 2009. He played a victim. He also mentions that he used to live in Haiti. And he was involved in an accident in October of this year where he struck a 13-year-old girl with his car and she had to be airlifted to the hospital. And then one thing about his father that's interesting to note, his name is Harry Welch Jr. He has served as executive director for Protect the Child, which is a national nonprofit organization to prevent abuse and abduction of children. So, you know, some people are saying that maybe, you know, he was very concerned about this because his father, you know, worked with helping to protect children. And so that's what drew him to this. Some people are saying he's an actor, you know, because as we know, he's an actor, but some people think he was an actor that was possibly hired to do this, you know, to discredit us and make us look crazy. So we don't know yet. We're still digging, but I found it very interesting yesterday, the reaction by the mainstream media, because before any name had been released, before anything had come out, the DC police specifically said there's no evidence at this point to tie this man to Pizzagate. None. But yet, you know, journalists, like one Huffington Post journalist wrote that it was a delusional alt-right terrorist that very nearly killed people today in Washington, D.C. They just come out with this stuff, and it's very unprofessional. It's just, it's ridiculous. The stuff that they were writing completely without any evidence, blaming and bashing the alt-right, and saying they're responsible. And they also, in a lot of the mainstream articles that I've read, the mainstream media articles, they have linked all the investigators of Pizzagate as to being homophobic white supremacists that belong to the alt-right. So they're trying to lump everyone together and just, you know, without any evidence, to create this narrative that it's completely cooked up and molded to, you know, the way that they want it to look, you know, so everyone will just be like, oh, this is crazy, and discredit it. The thing that it's important to note is Donald Trump already won the election. We got what we wanted. We're not investigating this just because we want to throw Hillary or, you know, James Alafontis, all these people under the bus anymore. We already won. We want to, you know, the plan was to just keep, you know, working, you know, toward, you know, bettering our country. But then this came out, and many people who saw what was presented before them were genuinely concerned. You know, thousands of people that saw, you know, the same thing that, you know, you and I are seeing and are asking questions. So we're not directly accusing anyone yet, but we see a lot that is suspicious and possibly alluding to some kind of large pedophile ring. So we want to ask the questions, be allowed to investigate and not be shut down because, you know, they're immediately calling it fake news, but yet they're not countering that with evidence that it is in fact fake news.
No, you're exactly right. And the fake news, narrative has gained traction since even last week with this latest story. And one thing Donald Trump was able to do in this election cycle, and a large part was due to the current leadership in the White House, was what they call a populist movement. He has awoken the silent majority of America, and many people are paying attention in this political cycle that wouldn't ordinarily take an interest in politics. And a huge part, and you mentioned this at the beginning when you came on, is that the Podesta emails were a big part in the reason why Hillary Clinton wasn't elected. And, from September 11th, where she was at the memorial service and had that health issue, through the email releases, all the lies that she was caught with the email, because this is Tony Podesta's email, who is, her chief of staff. But one of the things that, again, the populist movement, there's so many people paying attention that weren't before. And you have, a politically almost dangerous climate in this country with the generation snowflakes and everything that's going on with that. And, now this demonizing of people who are asking truth, it's reminiscent of 9/11 and the truther movement. People were demonized for asking questions about the 9/11 terrorist attack, and it's very similar.
Or, the beginning of the whole Hillary health thing, the entire mainstream media labeled everyone questioning Hillary's health as crazy, extremist right-wing nuts. But it turned out to be true. They're not leaving room for, citizens to ask questions about, who are the people in our government? Who are we? Who is representing our country, and what are they doing? The government should be held accountable by the people, and the government should serve the people. It should not be the other way around. So this kind of chokehold they've put us in, where we're not allowed to, they're restricting attempting to restrict our freedoms, us just asking, questions. It's getting, to the point where it's really ridiculous. I actually just received a text message from my friend Jack Posobiec, who periscoped at Comet Ping Pong, and he said that the Washington Post has asked to interview me. So I'm not going to, I'm going to reject that. But it's interesting that after, the mainstream media bashing this, why are they asking to interview us? What is the motive? Do they want to, to me, it seems quite clear that they want to set us up for an ambush, because they have not been objective, at all during this investigation. So I can only see it as some kind of setup for sabotage and, trying to discredit us and make us look crazy and, edit in whatever way they may.
You're exactly right. One of the things that the people in key positions of power have done throughout history is public manipulation. And they've been able to do it, for centuries without, the radio and TV and the internet and the tools that we have today. And they've perfected it today. You have, computer animation, the CGI. They can pretty much fake just about any story and make anybody say anything on TV and make it appear as real. And now we see, these different holograms and things from technology coming out and putting people like Tupac as a hologram in a concert. And there was another one where they did Erdogan recently in Turkey. And the ability to manipulate public opinion, and this goes back to, what the Bible says being deceived. So many people are deceived by this, and it's the labels that they put on the people. The globalists are good at giving people enough rope to hang themselves with, and that's one of the things that you alluded to, as you said, why is the mainstream media asking for people to interview about this subject after they've already, completely bashed it, lied about it, and demonized it in the news? And it's just to do that. They're trying to. One of the things that is so key about disinformation is having nuggets of truth in the disinformation. Mm-hmm. And these people are masters at deception, so there is nothing that they are not capable of doing, and no public opinion that they are capable of not changing if they want to. And they'll do that through propaganda or through false flag terror attacks, and we've seen it time and time again. I just don't think we've been able to identify it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to identify the tactics that they're using and use them against them. The left, they've been very good at it for a long time, but I think people are finally waking up to the way that they work, and they're able to combat them very efficiently, especially on Twitter. It's wonderful to watch. So in my opinion, in many people's opinion, it is psychological projection. So they'll project their own faults and, on us.
And so we see that with Trump and Hillary Clinton during the election cycle. Things that Hillary Clinton were accused of doing and were in her past, she would issue allegations against Donald Trump to see what would stick from, you know, creating their own pedophilia allegations against Donald Trump to even, you know, what Trump did with the Trump University and the taxes. Even though he, you know, they've spun the story that Trump was a tax dodger and wasn't, even though everything he did was legal. You know, they turned around and accused him of everything that people were talking about her behind the scenes and accused him of doing the same. And go ahead.
Like during the, you know, election cycle, the mainstream media was positively discredited as fake news. Mm-hmm. I mean, just time and time again. And so now you see them turning it on alternative media as the fake news. It's psychological production. It's a tactic, and it's what people need to be aware of. And if they are, they can battle it with conviction. You know, just be aware of them. Or, you know, a bunch of just genuinely concerned average American citizens, not even all of them are American, many are from around the world, investigating what they suspect might potentially be a pedophile ring. And yet these people are being demonized and, you know, made to seem like horrible, hateful, you know, people. And you have to ask the question, why? You know, the way we're looking at it, we are genuinely concerned and we're trying to do a good thing. This isn't a witch hunt to destroy lives. It's about saving, you know, potentially the lives of children who are the most helpless and vulnerable of all. They cannot help themselves. They need voices to stand up for, you know, people to stand up for them, people to raise their voices for them. That is what this entire investigation is about. And the people are being demonized, it makes you have to question the motives of the people who are demonizing them. You know, have these people, you know, it's just the whole thing. The mainstream media has been one of the bigger things that have gotten to me during this investigation. They've irritated me the most. Like, you know, I can deal with, you know, people coming at me and, you know, trolls on Twitter and anything, but the mainstream media, just the responsibility, the reach they have, the control and the power they have, you know, it should equal the responsibility. The standard that they're held to is very high. And yet they do such a bad job. Many lies, so many, that's why I'll never trust them. And I don't care what it would get me. I will never do an interview with the mainstream media, about Pizzagate. Never.
Yeah. Cause, just like, we talked about earlier, they're looking to, label and marginalize anything that is attempting to circumvent the establishment media and the power structure that is in place. And that's what has, you know, one thing that is interesting about Trump is he's not bound to anything. He's not a career politician. And the control factor is not there. Newt Gingrich said it best. He's an uninitiated, he's not initiated in the secret society. Mm-hmm. So how can we trust him on Fox News interview that
indeed, yeah.
Gingrich did right after the nomination. Folks, we're going to be right back. We're up against a break. Our guest right now is Brittany Pettibone.
Oh, man.
She is the co-author of the Hatred Day series with her sister, Nicole, and their website is tspettibone.com, PETTIBONE.com.
Catch her on Twitter. Catch her on Twitter.
Brittany Pettibone.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Stay with us.